It's time now for the Chapel Platform, presenting a message preached on the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is James Phillips, retired pastor in Taylor, South Carolina. The message is entitled, Trust God Only. The text, Psalm 62, verse 5. This message was originally preached on the campus of BJU, April 3, 1996.
Our speaker this morning in chapel will be Dr. Jim Phillips from Matthews, North Carolina.
Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the 62nd Psalm. Now, I hope you students don't think I'm old or fat or overweight or anything like that. A man came in a store one day, and there was a parrot in the store. And the parrot looked at the man, and he said, "You are old and fat and ugly." And the boss came running out, and he said, "What in the world are you doing talking to our customers that way? Don't you ever do that again." And so the boss went back. The parrot looked at the man again. He said, you're old and fat and ugly." And the boss came running out. He said, "I told you, don't you ever say that again to one of our customers." He went back. The parrot looked at the man again. He said, "You're old and fat and ugly." And the boss came out and he got the parrot by the neck. He said, "You say that one more time," said, "we're going to have roast parrot for dinner." So the man went back and the parrot looked at the man and he said, "Hey." The man said, "What?" He said, "You know what?" Sometimes you don't have to say it, do you? So if you come around me and you say, "You know what?" I'll know what you're talking about. 2 years ago, I walked into the doctor's office for a treadmill test. They lay me down to do the x-rays and all. They'd injected the nuclear stuff in me to run through my heart and all, and my heart stopped beating. Well, you know, that can get serious. And they immediately took me to did a heart cath and open heart surgery. And many of you prayed for me at that time, and I appreciate it so very much. Now, did I tell you the 62nd Psalm, Psalm 62? And we're going to look at verse number 5. And I believe one of the greatest lessons that I've learned in my spiritual experience, and you never quit learning. You always learn. You always grow. You never stop growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Psalm 62 in verse number 5. I want to emphasize one verse. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from God and my parents." I missed it, didn't I? My expectation is from Him. "My soul, wait thou only, 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 only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, dear Lord, I pray that You'd give us something today that would help us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to say the word "only" with me. Would you do that? Here we go. Only. Let's say it over and over again. Only. Come on. Only. 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 Now, I did that because I hope that will impress upon your memory in years to come. I can remember sitting where you sat 40-plus years ago, and remembering the different messages and the different speakers. I'll never forget the time Dr. Pappy Reveal came and preached, and I guess I will remember that until I die. When I do my Bible reading in the morning and I have my prayer time, when I get through with the Bible reading, I always claim a verse for the day. I might claim Jeremiah 32:27. I might acclaim Ephesians 3:20 or James 5:17 or Psalm 121:2, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." But I try to claim a verse for that day to help me get through the day. And many times I will claim this verse, Psalm 62:5, so I will get my eyes off of people and my eyes off of the circumstances and my eyes only on God. See, a lot of people, they trust God, but they have a mingled faith. They trust God and they trust man. Just like the way a lot of people are trusting the Lord for salvation. They trust God plus their character. They trust God plus their good works, or plus their baptism, or plus their church membership, or something else. But salvation is by faith alone. And it's easy to trust God for salvation, but sometimes it's not easy to trust God for our college tuition. And you say, you know, "I come from a poor family and there's just no way that I can make it." Listen, nobody here came from a poorer family than I came from. And as you've heard so many times, you can do anything you ought to do by the grace of God. If you can get your eyes off people, if you can get your eyes off the circumstances, and if you can trust God only. You see, it's a real risky thing to trust things from people, or if you're trusting circumstances, or maybe you're trusting to just be, quote, lucky, you know. Faith is believing God rather than the circumstances. Unbelief is believing the circumstances rather than God. Somebody said faith in God sees the invisible, receives the impossible, and believes the incredible. And that's exactly true. Joshua and Caleb, you remember, didn't believe the circumstances. Moses sent the 12 spies out. They came back. 10 of the spies says, "We cannot do it. There's no way. We saw the giants there. We saw the cities walled up to heaven. Why, we don't have the strength. We don't have the power. We don't have the manpower. There's no way we can take over this land." But Joshua and Caleb didn't look at the circumstances. They didn't look at how big the people were. They looked to God and they became victorious. Just like David, when David fought the giant. They said, "Well, David, you can't fight the giant. Look how big he is." But David wasn't looking at the giant at all. He was looking how much bigger God was than the giant. And that's exactly what we need to do. I love the story of the little girl that was drawing a picture. She had her crayons out and she's drawing a picture, and the teacher came to her and said, "Honey, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." "Oh," the teacher said, "why, you can't draw a picture of God. Nobody knows what God looks like." She said, "They will when I get through." I like that. She had faith. Maybe you're expecting someone to do a favor for you. Maybe you're expecting someone to give you some money, or maybe to pay on your tuition, or maybe to make you a loan, or to give you a job, or maybe you were expecting a promotion and you're thinking, "Well, boy, you know, I could really get that promotion if so-and-so just weren't in my way of getting that promotion." You know what you're doing? You're not trusting God alone, because bosses can't keep you from getting promotions. People can't keep you from getting jobs. Maybe you're expecting your boyfriend to propose, and you keep trusting him and expecting him to propose. I remember when my wife proposed. She proposed when I was a student here. They were making the film Wine of Mourning, and we were down at the old set of the old Jerusalem, standing on the balcony down there, and Dr. Otis Holmes said, "Why don't you go ahead and marry this girl?" And my wife said, "Yeah." I said, "Why don't you go on and marry this girl?" And I said, "Well, it's 2-1. I guess I just better." And maybe you're one of the marriage students and you're expecting, why won't my husband be what I want him to be? Maybe you're a husband and you say, why in the world won't my wife do what I want her to do? Well, why are you trusting them in the first place? My soul, wait thou only upon God. The man came home. He had a new wife. And she had made biscuits. And he was late coming home. And she was just crying. And he said, honey, he said, what in the world is the matter? She said, well, I made biscuits for you today and you came home late and I had to give the biscuits to the dog. He said, that's all right, dear. He said, we can get another dog. Oh, boy. I hope you don't have a wife like that that cooks that way. Your ministry, by the way, can be no more effective than your marriage. Did you hear what I said? Your ministry, when you go out to minister for the Lord, how many broken ministries there are because of broken families. Your ministry can be no more effective than your marriage. Maybe you're expecting someone to give you a car. By the way, did you know you don't have to have a car at college? Now, if you have a car at college, thank God. I graduated from college, didn't have a car. Went to Milledgeville, Georgia, that great church that I took from 5 to 3 in 1 year. Pastored that church for a year. Still didn't have a car. As a matter of fact, I lived in Milledgeville. I had to hitchhike 32 miles to Macon every day. In the snow and in the rain and everything else. Working at Burden Smith Department Store while I was pastoring that church. Finally, I bought a car for $100, the first car I ever had. Bought it over in Macon, and it didn't make it to Milledgeville. It threw a rod. Eventually, we got the engine fixed on it. It was light green, and the top started rusting through, and I just went and bought a can of black paint and a brush, and I painted the top of it black. Later on, the other part rusted, and so I got another can of paint and painted it black. When we got through with it, it didn't have any upholstery in it. I mean, it didn't. My wife and I, for so many years, we didn't have anything but each other and the Lord. And I tell you, if you've got that, you've got more than the world has. Maybe you expected to receive some sports group. By the way, you know what I wanted when I was a kid? Is there anybody here old enough that can remember what a Cushman motor scooter is? Anybody here at all in this building? Older? Any of you folks, you remember a Cushman motor? Put, 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 put. That's the old crowd back there. Man, they go, put, 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 put. You know, man, I wanted one of those things so bad. In heaven, I hope God will give me one. I think I'd buy one today if I could find one. Maybe you're expecting someone to give you a scholarship. Maybe you went to the doctor and you're expecting the medicine to heal you. And none of these things you're expecting never materialize. And you become disappointed and you become frustrated. Why? Because it's a risky thing to trust in man. Why? Mainly because of man's limitations. His life is limited. He may die. His resources are limited. As a matter of fact, your need may be greater than what his resources are. His future is unsure. He may go bankrupt. His intentions may be well, but he doesn't have control over his destiny. I remember some years ago back in Little Rock, where I had an aunt that died, and my father was expecting to receive an inheritance, and me and my two brothers were expecting to receive an inheritance. And so, on the basis of expecting to receive the inheritance, I had my father send me $1,000, and man, I went out and bought a new Chevrolet. And, of course, $1,000 was a lot of money back in those. That wasn't the total cost of the car, but it was the down payment. And then because of some quirk in the law, we didn't end up getting that inheritance. Things don't always come to pass the way you expect. Sometimes man doesn't know when to act. And sometimes you wonder, why can't I get people to do what I want them to do? Or why can't I make them quit being what they ought not to be? And they keep disappointing me. And Why don't things keep working out for me? And why do I keep being disappointed? And why do I keep being frustrated all the time? Well, let me tell you how to keep from never being disappointed. And that's my subject this morning. Transferring your expectations. You transfer your expectations from men to God. And if you transfer your expectations from men to God, you will never, ever in your life ever be disappointed. You will never, ever be frustrated because you realize that God is in control. And you realize that God can give to you everything He wants you to have or withhold from you that which you ought not to have. And by the way, do you know why Job was such a great man? Because Job was able to praise God just as much when God took away from him as when God gave to him. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he became a great man in God's sight. We've got to learn to quit trusting second causes. And that's what man is. That's what circumstances are. I was preaching in San Diego, California last year. And a pastor came up to me after and we were talking and he said, "I am just so frustrated." He said, "We've been trying to get a piece of land. We've been trying to get a permit from the city." And he said, "I've gone to him and appealed to him over and over and over again." And he said, "We just cannot get those people to move." And I opened up the Bible. And I showed him this verse. "My soul, wait thou." What's the next word? What is it? Come on, let me hear you. "Wait thou what? Only upon God." See, he was waiting on the city council. He wasn't waiting on God. And immediately he bowed his head and he repented. And he said, "I understand now." He said, "I've been appealing to the wrong..." It's okay to appeal to man, but you don't trust in man. You understand that he is only a second cause, that everything comes from God. See, it's safe only to trust in God. You focus on God, not on man. See, to trust man is like having your feet on the sand. Trusting God and man is like having one foot on the rock and another foot on the sand. But if you trust God only, it's like having both of your feet on the rock at the same time. It is always safe to trust in God. Let me give you a little sentence, and you might want to write this down in the front of the back of your Bible. This has meant a lot to me. Listen to this. You cannot expect too little from man or too much from God. That was a famous saying of George Mueller, the famous builder of the orphan houses in Bristol, England. Let me repeat that. You cannot expect too little from man or too much from God. And I hope you don't get into this prosperity Christianity, by the way. Did you know that it may be the will of God for you to spend your whole life suffering? Did you know that it may be the will of God for you to spend your life in poverty and doing without? Some folks think, you know, we hear all of these televangelists or whatever they are talking about, you know, "You send me your dollar bill and man, we'll, you know, we'll just take care of you." I just wonder, these fellows work such miracles, why they even have to appeal to people for money anyhow? Won't they just take some paper and tear it up and pray their magical words over it and just turn it into money? I mean, quit fooling with this stuff of having to appeal to money. Just work one of their miracles. If you need a job, or you need money, or a promotion, or a scholarship, or shoes, or a new suit, get your eyes off man, you trust God. Now I want to give you just two things in the last few minutes we have this morning. Number one, and this is a repeat of what I've said before, we should look to God for everything. Only to God. Heaven unmingled faith, not in God and man, but in God only. As an example, I tell our folks in Charlotte, don't trust the preacher for good sermons. Trust God for good sermons. If you want better sermons, go tell God about it. If you trust God only, you will always be easy. You will always be easy and never fretting, because it is not possible that God should fail. Turn to Jeremiah, if you would, please. Would you turn in your Bibles to the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah? If you trust God only, you will always be easy and never fretting, because it is not possible that God should fail. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, like a burned up cactus bush, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But look at verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and sown, and sown, and so forth. Now, your need may not come directly from God. I mean, if you have a need, and you'll certainly, if you don't have a need today, you'll have one tomorrow. Your need may not come directly from God. If you have a financial need, you need money to pay on your school account, God's not generally going to pour the money out of heaven into a basket in your room. God will use someone. Like Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And so God does use second causes. Then number one, we should look to God for everything, only to God. Number two, the reason we should look only to God for everything is because everything comes from Him. Romans 11:36. For of Him, God is the source of all things, and through Him, God is the means of all things, and to Him, God is the end of all things, are all things, to whom be glory now and forever. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Do you know who owns the universe? God owns the universe. God owns. God is rich. He's powerful. He's good. He is wise. And He is holy. And we can trust Him completely. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. And I want you to mark two or three verses in your Bible. Could I ask you a question? Is your expectation from Him? Do you have an unmingled faith? A faith that is not a faith in God mingled with faith in man? In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David has prepared the materials for the building of the temple. And this is David's prayer. Look at verse number 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. I have to remember every day, this is not my suit, this is God's suit. These are not my shoes, these are God's shoes. This is not my money in this wallet, this is God's money. There's a $20 bill right there. That's God's $20 bill. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Everything in heaven and in earth belongs to God. Everything you have above nothing has come to you from God. God never intended you to own anything, but simply be a steward of what He has sent your way, and to trust Him for everything. Now look at the end of verse number 14. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. When you give your tithe back to the Lord and your offering and your faith promise or whatever you're giving to the Lord, you're only giving back to God that which already is His, that which has come from Him to you. And after you give your offering to the Lord, everything you have left still belongs to Him. And then the end of verse number 16, or the whole verse. O Lord, our God, all this store that we've prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is thine own. Can you trust God only? Let's turn back to the 62nd Psalm. Would you do that with me? Turn back to the 62nd Psalm. And I want us all just to read together that verse. We'll pray and go our way. Psalm 62:5. Everybody got it? Are you ready? Here we go. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that we can call on Your name today. How easy it is to fall into the trap of trusting You and other things. And help us, dear God, to trust You only. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've heard the Chapel Platform. A copy of this message is available by writing the Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Send a check for $5.13 and be sure to tell them the name of the speaker, James Phillips, retired pastor of Taylor, South Carolina, the title of the message, Trust God Only, and include today's date. This program has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.